Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 20 of the Theatrical Mustang Podcast. I'm your host, Katie Woodzik. This episode is with Elvis Strauss. Really exciting news. She's bringing her evening-length performance of her formerly solo show, Manifesto, to Velocity Dance Center this Memorial Day weekend. It was listed in Dance Magazine's Best of 2014 list, and it's a show that employs a California Red Sea cucumber as a vehicle for exploring what it takes to be a woman and what it means to be a woman who does not want to have children. It was a fun interview to record, and I really hope you enjoy it. This episode is sponsored by Hedgebrook. Hedgebrook is a literary nonprofit that supports women authoring change in the world, all about supporting women writers. And their Writers in Residence application is going to go live the second week in June. So put that on your calendars. And this is the program where it's fully funded residencies of 2 to 6 weeks. You get a cottage of your own. So you're going to want to apply for that. You can find out more information about that program and their other programs for writers at www.hedgebrook.org. And now on to episode 20 with Elvis Strauss. So welcome. Elvis Strauss is in the building.
Hello.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me.
I am super interested in your Facebook. Your Facebook is like a stream of all these awesome nautical like costumes and people and awesomeness. And so what's up with all that nautical stuff? You must be working on a project.
Funny you should ask. I am working on a evening length dance performance show called Manifesto. And it features a marine invertebrate that's very near and dear to me. Sea cucumbers, a lot of them, and well, that's part of it. And the other part is I talk about being a woman who doesn't want kids.
Where did this piece come from? Because it's sort of a second iteration of this idea, right?
Yeah, it's kind of the fourth iteration. I've been working it like,
wow.
The first one was 2 years ago. It was like a 6-minute real quick thing, and then it kind of has doubled in time almost every single time, except for this one. It's a bigger leap because the last version was 20 minutes and now we're going for like maybe an hour.
Awesome.
Yeah, but it started off like I volunteered at the aquarium and there's this one video of like a sea cucumber eating and then pooping. And I got like really obsessed with it, and so like I just kept like staring at the sea cucumbers at work. And so I had this idea. I was asked to perform at Spin the Bottle at Annex Theater.
Yes, yeah.
And so I was like, oh, great. I'm going to dress up like a sea cucumber and poop on stage as a sea cucumber. And so I wanted to do like some kind of voiceover narrative, which is kind of the a structure that I've been playing with my performance for a while, having a voiceover narrative and then just performing and dancing on stage underneath that. And so when I started to write it, I started talking about how sea cucumbers eat dirty sand and poop out clean sand. And then like, well, what do I put out in the world? And well, most women put out kids, but I'm not going to do that. So, well, shit, where does that leave me? Am I allowed to swear?
Absolutely.
Okay,
no
great.
Context.
I was like,
swear all the hell you want.
Okay. Yeah. And so then it just like got real deep real quick. And then just kind of has been growing since then. Yeah.
When you write for the piece, what's your writing process? Do you set aside time, or is it more like inspiration strikes when it strikes and you follow the muse?
A little bit of both. I definitely, like, for this version of it, it's been on my mind since I decided to do it, late last year. Just, like, made the commitment to do an evening length. And, pulled up some topics that I didn't get to cover in the last version of the piece. And then also in just like talking with people about the topic of like, do you want kids? Do you not want kids?
Right.
What are the ramifications or what's the ripple effect of that? And so pulling from conversations I've had with people and then just other random thoughts and a little bit of background of like where I'm coming from with all this. And so having that in my brain and then just like sitting it all down sitting down and like writing it all, and then the process of like cutting it down, whittling it down to exactly like what is it that I'm trying to say with this piece.
Yeah. And you have a cast, there's 12, is it 12 plus you or 12 total?
12 plus me. Yeah.
So who are you working with and why do you choose to work with them?
Well, I'm working with Amber Lee, Lucy, Caden, Aaron, oh, I messed up the order of it, Mary, Nathan, Peter, Rana, Sean, and Tori. And they're some of those folks that I've known either in the dance community or through performance around town, and some folks, I know someone through like a dance class. There's some people that I hadn't worked with before. A couple of folks, I did a workshop series in March, like leading up to the audition. And, so there's a couple of folks, from there, that ended up in the cast. And so I picked like a pretty, good array of people as far as dance background goes. There's some folks who like, one woman went to Juilliard for dance, and then like someone else was like, I take a dance class here and there, but that's about it. And so, yeah, I was actually really interested in like having that range of background in dance, and seeing, yeah, what it'd be like to work with that.
So the show runs May 22nd through the 24th.
Yeah. Memorial Day weekend.
Memorial Day weekend, yeah. At Velocity Dance Center. Mm-hmm. People can get tickets, brown paper tickets.
Yes.
Can you tell me what it's like, because you're the technical director of Velocity. Yeah. What's it like having that sort of behind the scenes and then on stage, and how do those two lives kind of feed each other?
Well, I definitely, like, as the TD there, I end up running lights and sound for most of the shows that come through, and I've been doing that for, not specifically there, but, like, there and around town for, like, 7 or 8 years now, working with dancers and in other theater situations. And so I've just like gotten to observe and watch a shit ton of performance. And I think that's been really influential and kind of this like a different way. Yeah. A way of like learning dance and learning performance just by like watching, which I think that's like one of the ways that I do learn really well is like watching someone do something for a long time and then getting up and doing it.
Right.
Yeah. And so, and with like helping out, behind the scenes and like being in that role, that it got to a point where I'm like, okay, now I want to try my turn. I want to see what it's like on that side of the stage. And so it was kind of a slow stepping out onto the stage. I did some of my work in previous years was doing slideshow presentations, so having an old Kodak Carousel projector.
I was trying to think how we met, and it was at Matcha Monkey.
Oh yeah.
Cabaret,
and oh my god,
were,
yeah.
Yes, you were up there doing a slideshow. So funny. I was like, was it Woodstock? Was it?
But yeah.
That's it. The first time I saw you perform.
Yeah. So I did those for a while. So it's very like narrative based with images. Some of them were found, and some of them were given to me. Curating the images to the narrative. But then the dance element has only been recently in the past. Well, probably the past like 2 years. I've been working with dancers, like as their line designer or technical director, or in relationships with them, for like 7 years now.
Sure.
And so, so there's obviously something there that was like intriguing to me and, drew me in, and yeah, but it took me that many years to like actually get on stage and like get into a dance class and start moving around. And it's been really great. Just like, they're all super supportive. And like, I was like, yeah, I remember looking around one day at a show and I was like, oh yeah, I like know half the people here. Like, this is my community. This like all these dancer folks, and just being able to like explore all aspects of that has been really great. But it's funny, but like once I get on stage, like my technical brain just shuts off.
Completely.
Like, yeah, I'm like, that's light. I don't know. Turn it on. Yeah.
Well, that's good not to have that dialogue running in your head when you're trying to perform.
Yeah, yeah. I just feel like, you guys know what you're doing. Just make sure you can see me.
So, when you're generating choreography, what's that process like for you?
It varies. There's, well, to start with, there's like, I had this like, I'm like, okay, I'm making a dance piece. And I was like, oh fuck, like, I don't know, I've never done this before. And like, I don't, like, my dance training is very, is pretty minimal. And so I was like, I have to like make something like dancey. But then I was like, no, I don't actually. And so, I took the pressure off of myself as far as making like a dance piece. And so just kind of went about it. There's like a lot of really like, a lot of it's a more pedestrian movement. Mm. And, a good deal of it is more just like interactions with people, with like specifically with this piece, with like me and the group, like the group dynamic, and then like me with the group. And so that like, so it's less, so it is choreography, but not in like traditional dance vocabulary choreography. But there are some parts that are like, that have choreography, and that was like me at home, like making things up and then going to rehearsal. I'm like, okay, learn this. Great, you got it. And like in half the time that it took me to like think about it. And so, yeah, so it's been like, been a mix of.
What's your rehearsal room like? Is it a highly collaborative environment, or how do you like to hold that space?
Well, I'm like, how do I put that into words?
It's a feeling, and the color is blue.
Yeah, I like, there's definitely, like, I've had, okay, so because there's a cast of 12, like, I knew, like, from the beginning, like, probably I won't get everyone in the same room until dress rehearsal, if that.
Right.
Like, it might not be even till like, opening night where everyone's on stage at the same time. And so, like, working kind of piecemeal, and so I've had, like, today we had, I think there was like 7 or 8 of us in rehearsal out of 12, or out of 13 rather. And so just like working with those people and generating material, I'll give them like ideas. It's like, okay, work with this thought, this, concept, to this music, and just kind of guide them through things. I've also had a bunch of like one-on-one rehearsals with folks, either folks who couldn't make it to like a specific night that we always rehearse on, or if there's a different section for like me and one person. I always forget, I'm like, it's called a duet, Elvis. I keep wanting to call them solos. I'm like, this is not a solo piece anymore. The solo with you and me and this other person. That's a trio. Yeah, and so, like, meeting with people one-on-one to, like, work on smaller parts like that. Yeah, so there is, like, a bit of, like, there is collaboration. I definitely have, like, a vision. A lot of it has been, like, I don't know what it is until I see it.
Right.
And so, but, bouncing off ideas off the group and getting a lot of feedback and like, oh, what do you guys think about this? Or someone will say something that'll spark a different idea, and then be able to go back and be like, oh, that reads weird or not the way I want it to read. So I'm just going to change it and we're going to do this, something else. Yeah. Or even like at rehearsal, like last week we did this whole like trust fall section where I'm like, yeah, this is going to be part of it. And then today someone's like, are we still doing the trust fall? I'm like, no, I cut it. but that part like informed like this other section that I was like, sure. Okay, that's, yeah, it'll still like make its way in there, but yeah, sometimes not in the way that I would have thought. Yeah.
So what informed your decision to make it? Was the piece speaking to you, saying needs to be an evening length worth work now, or was it just the process of continuing to challenge yourself as an artist?
I think B. Yeah, because at first I was like, do I have anything more to say? Like, I think I covered a lot of ground with that 20-minute version. And so, yeah, so it was more of like a, well, I've never made an evening-length piece. Let's see what that looks like. Yeah, so more of that influence to get there.
Can you talk about your Kickstarter campaign?
Yeah.
Super successful.
Super successful.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. That was like, I was on the bus home from On the Boards with a friend, and they were like, hey, what are you doing for crowdfunding? And I was like, crowdfunding? What is that? And I was like, yeah, I was like, it hadn't even like crossed my mind. So I was like, oh, I should get on this. Yeah, someone like, found someone to like record and help edit it, and I just like, it's kind of in the style of the piece itself. There's a sure. voiceover, and I'm standing by the ocean, but with it in it, and yeah, it just like, I was like, I've never, yeah, first time doing a Kickstarter, and fingers crossed, just sent it on its way, and
yeah. I thought it was very classy and well executed, so it was kind of interesting mm-hmm. to hear like, oh, I guess I'm doing this, and it was yeah. just sort of that agency where.
Yeah, I feel like there's definitely like a way of asking for money, or like, yeah, like attitude around money, that like, I was like, oh yeah, just here, sign this piece of paper, or like punch in these numbers, like taking the charge out of like paying for something right. and just presenting it like your energy is going towards this art piece. And so, yeah, why wouldn't you want to? It's just like your energy's in the form of these numbers over here. And so, yeah. Just, like, going for it in that way instead of, like, oh, give me money.
Well, it sort of goes back to, like, the olden days where, like, artists had patrons, right? Mm-hmm. And now everyone can be a patron in their little mini way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about sea creatures more. Oh, I want to know more about them. I see these amazing photos of sewing costumes.
Yeah.
One of the Kickstarter benefits was having your picture taken in the sea cucumber costume.
Yeah, no one took me up on that one.
No, that
yeah.
was super
Someone
awesome.
Someone did take me up on the personal tour at the aquarium. So I'll be taking my friend and a couple of his friends.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, marine life. I love them.
What is that connection? Can you distill it down to words?
Huh. Let me see. I'll give it a shot. Yeah, well, I started, let's see. Like, yeah, 2 years ago, I started working volunteering at the aquarium, and like, because I like the idea of volunteering. I wanted to work with animals. And like, when I signed up, I'm like, oh my God, why am I doing this? I'm so busy. Right. But as soon as I would get to the aquarium, I'd be like, oh, and like super stoked. And yeah, I think like as a kid, I wanted to be a marine biologist, and so that's definitely satisfying oh, wow. that itch. And I also at the time was wanting to learn how to dive, and so I was like, oh, there'll probably be some divers there. And sure enough, there's like half the staff are divers. Oh, wow. And so I've actually gone out with there's like one of my supervisors. I go out with her here and then. But yeah, I just really like love it, just like the whole connection with nature. I studied shamanism for a couple years, and there's an emphasis with, like connection with animals and connection with nature in general is a pretty big basis of it. And then learning to see, animals as far as like, not analogies, but like the symbolic nature of animals. Mm. And so really like taking that and running with it. And that kind of like is how the piece evolved from the very beginning. Like, oh, it's just this animal who like, yeah, eats dirty and like shits out clean. And like, what's that a metaphor for? And how does that relate to my life? It's like, oh, I'm taking in like, there's all this thing. I'm taking in like whatever's around me. And then like, well, it's my choice what I want to put out in the world. Like what, yeah, what I want to like return. And so really just taking that to heart and then just being really like fascinated, like the ocean is like amazing and there's so much there. And like, yeah, I mean, it's like, right. I think as Seattleites, we kind of take it for granted that like, oh yeah, Puget Sound. But there's like, yeah, there's some life out there and it's just really amazing to be around and have that, to be able to like go diving and to be able to just like know and about all these animals.
I remember hearing somewhere in science class that, you know, in middle school or high school or something, that like the deepest depths of the ocean, mm-hmm. we know less about that than we do about some things in the solar system, mm-hmm. just because it's sort of, it's dangerous to go down that yeah. deeply. And that's always stuck with me, that this thing that's closer than space mm-hmm. is somehow more unknowable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it's just like, there's something really like refreshing and like calming about like the ocean in general, just like being around mm. that and like listening to the waves and all of the positive ions coming off of the ocean crashing at the on the shore. Yeah, that's just like, it's also like it's so different than my day-to-day life. It's all my regular life. Than like the rest of my week, rather.
Right.
Where like I'm on Capitol Hill, I work on Capitol Hill and like around like dance class and staying indoors and doing technical stuff and then going, yeah, down to the water and like hanging out with people I would never hang out with otherwise, being around kids, being around like elders. So like having that part, that's like such like an added benefit to volunteering there that I had no idea or was unexpected. But really I appreciate a lot. Yeah.
Can we get into your origin story as an artist?
Yeah.
I'm super intrigued about this. When you were a little kid.
Uh-huh.
Can you remember the first time you created something that you were super proud of and you were like, hey, I like being creative. I like expressing myself in this way.
You know, I have this like drawing that I did of like Garfield that I was really into. But there wasn't like at a moment that I'm like, I'm going to be an artist. I think when my mom asked me like what I wanted to be when I grew up, when I was younger, my answer was like, I wanted to put computers in space. And so,
oh, interesting.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So I have a science background. I have a degree in chemistry. But I did theater in high school and was like, oh yeah, this is really cool. And started playing music and continued to play music through college. And for a moment I kind of want to go to film school. But then like the like logical brain pressure, external peer pressure, societal pressure, family pressure of
that's
like,
not practical.
Yeah, get a real job. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I'd like science. And so I actually started, I went to college for engineering at first.
Yeah.
And then ended up with chemistry. Yeah. And so there was never like a moment where I'm like, yeah, I'm an artist. Like, and like, this is my like long-term vision. It was just like, oh, I'm just doing this thing. I make music on the side. I do like artsy projects here and there. And then, yeah, I think like having been up here, I've been up here for almost 10 years now. And yeah, just like, when I got here, I got back into like production work and theater and I was like, oh yeah, I remember this. I really like doing this, but it was also on like the technical side of things. And I think it was just like, yeah, just being around that environment that I was like, oh, wait a minute. There's more to this. Like, this isn't like the end point. This is just like a way to get back in to this environment, to this, the theater performance dance scene.
Well, it seems like a good balance of the artistic and the scientific, right? Mm-hmm. Doing technical direction. Do you do design as well for the theater?
Yeah, I'm like the, like, if someone rents the place, then I'm like the default lighting designer, unless they come with someone from outside. But yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and I've toured with some companies before, some dance companies, and I did freelance lighting design for a couple of years, just like around town until I landed this job.
What's going on at Velocity right now? Tell us.
There's usually some dance performance every weekend or some kind of show. There's a show coming up in 2 weeks that you might be interested in. It's called Manifesto.
Definitely gonna see that.
Yeah, lots of dance programs, dance class. That's like one of like the most amazing things of like getting that job was getting to take class for free.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Because that's like kind of like how I learned how to dance or continue to learn how to dance because I still take class there. But it's definitely been like a really amazing learning experience there.
So like I said before, I know more about the theater scene in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And to me, theater and dance are sort of always adjacent. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they're crossing over. And I know Seattle is known for theater, for creating a lot of new work and being sort of progressive in that way. Can you give our listeners sort of an overview of the Seattle dance scene and what that community is like and what some of those highlights are for you?
Good question. Part of me is like, I just like sit in the booth for like a lot of it. I mean, that's not the only thing. That's not my only connection with the dance community, but like, yeah, I don't know. It's just like, I feel like it's a hard one to answer because it's just like, oh, it's just what I do. Or it's just like, it's just the scene. It's how we do things. I mean, there's definitely like a lot of support. Like, there's like tons of classes to take around, and like Velocity is a really great like hub for that, and it's affordable enough to like rent it out for performances, and yeah, just like a lot of people like just know each other and are good about like seeing going out and supporting other choreographers' work.
There's a lot of exciting stuff going on the boards as well throughout mm-hmm. the year.
Oh yeah, yeah, they're great. There's a relationship between on the boards and Velocity. Like sometimes companies that will go that perform it on the boards will do like a workshop at Velocity, and so there's crossover there. And I think that's really that's been happening more and more, and that's been really integral. Yeah, it's been really important and like neat to see like that crossover. Just like, oh yeah, we're on two different hills, but we're like part of the same community, and just really bridging that gap that sometimes happens.
Can we talk about Genre Bender and what that experience was like for you?
Oh yeah,
because I so enjoyed that performance. Mm-hmm. How did you get approached? What was that mm-hmm. generative process like?
Yeah, it was really fun. Jen Zile, who was curating it, asked me to be in it, and she's like, "Have you ever met Aham?" And I'm like, "Who?" and he had never heard of me, and so we like Facebook stalked each other for a second, and then we had rehearsal, and it was it was pretty collaborative. We like both brought like to the table what we considered were our strengths. His was mostly music, and he did like some stand-up stuff, and I was more like writing with some dance in there. So it was a lot of like discussion on like, well, what are we trying to say? How are we going to do it? And then, there was like, it was funny. There were moments where like we worked at the same pace in a way where like, we're like, hey, we'll have your draft. We both had writing parts in it. And it's like, have your draft done by Monday. Cool. And then Monday would roll around and like, we'd show up to rehearsal and be like, I actually don't have my draft. He's like, cool. I don't have mine either. And we're like, okay. So it was like on that same pace. Like there was like this inherent trust built in where like we knew we would get up there and do a good job, but that it wouldn't look like that until we got up there and did a good job. Yeah. And so it was nice to have like some that like be on the same page with someone with that. Right. Of like, yeah, we'll get there.
There were two performances of, it was just one weekend, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was two shows. Yeah. So it was like not this Valentine's, but the one before.
What was that like having, did you see the other artists and what they had come up with until mm-hmm. that tech?
Not until tech. No, I saw. Yeah.
And what was that like seeing? Because even though there are a lot of disparate parts, it worked beautifully like mm-hmm. together to create a cohesive evening.
Yeah, it was just neat because like I knew like maybe half the people, and then just like so curious of like, wait, so we're like we got so like involved in our own. Our own piece, and then I was like, well, what are other people gonna do? Like, just like the curiosity of like two creative minds coming together and like having a free for all, basically. Like, go for it, make up whatever. There's no theme. That's awesome. Yeah.
What advice would you give to creatives, young and old, who are interested in generating new work?
I guess don't force it, which sometimes like I take that like to the other extreme where I'm like, I'm just going to lay here. I was like, no, you actually have to like put some effort into it. But like, there's definitely, okay. Like if you ever like worked like a handsaw and like trying to like cut through plywood,
sure.
It's like pretty smooth, but sometimes it gets like, you like get on a slight curve and then it starts to tighten and you can't, and like, if you push it, you're going to like break something. So it's like, taking note of that, of like when you're actually cutting a straight line and when like you're going off to the side and you're just like, if you push any further, it's gonna like hurt or like something bad's gonna happen. And just like, yeah. And like allow, like really like putting the effort in, but also like allowing for like, I need to sit down and do something else. And then that little piece is magically like gonna pop into place. That's kind of like a funny way of saying it, but yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. And then ultimately like, oh, I think there was like, I was having, there's definitely moments of like cycling through doubt and I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? And like, and then I have, from taking shamanism, I have this like deck of this tarot deck of animal cards.
Yeah.
And so I was like,
all right. Animal medicine cards or?
Yeah. It's, I can't remember the exact, I think it's called animal medicine. And so I was like, all right, universe, what am I doing? And like, what's this project about? And I like pulled one, it was the goose, and it was all about the quest. And I was like, huh. And then like, there was something in there. It was like one of the lines in there was like, in the book part, was like, whoever goes on a quest, like you can't fail. Like you will complete this quest. And I was like, oh, so just like having like that was like, you know, totally like random in a book, but like just like taking that to heart of like whatever you set out to do, it's gonna get done. And just having that like baseline confidence of like, yeah, like this is what I'm doing. Yeah. And like moving forward with that. Yeah. That whole idea of like being thankful for like, or like gratitude and being thankful for like, oh yeah, like this is like, this has come to completion, or like I figured it out, and like really like considering it happening now versus like, oh, I'll get there. That like with the whole, it's kind of like ties into like affirmations and stuff. And,
absolutely.
Yeah. Just like, yeah, if you want, like I was trying to figure out this like one music choice for a piece, which was like this critical moment, and I was like, I have no idea what song is gonna go there. But then I just spent like a couple days being like, I figured it out, even though I had it. And then like I just like sat down to read something and like turned on Spotify, and then like the song that came up, I was like, oh my god, this is the song.
Bam.
And I was like, oh, thank you.
Can you talk about how, first, about your time studying shamanism and how that wends its way into your work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was, I didn't actually set out to study it. My friend was like, hey, you should, like, this person does, astrology readings. And I was like, cool, I'll go get my chart read. But it wasn't like a straight up chart. It was more like an intuitive, meeting and, a reading. And, so I went to this lady and, she was like, you should take my class. I know it's my class, but you should take it. And I was like, okay. And I looked it up more, and it was about like spirituality and intuition. I was like, cool, those are things I'm interested in. And then when I go to like find the classroom, there's like a little paper that says shamanism with an arrow. And I was like, oh, what is this? And so, yeah, I just like stuck with it. I took it for, like, at first I was just like such like the punk kid in the back of the class where I'm like, I don't know who you guys are. I don't know what this is about. Like, I'm just like here to, yeah, I'm just going to be like up against the wall and like arms crossed. But then like, yeah, it's just like, I feel like over the years I've definitely had an interest in spirituality and different forms that it takes and what people's ideas of like how the universe works. And so yeah, there was like a deeper interest and of just like bettering myself and yeah, just like learning more and connecting with folks. So I ended up just sticking with that for a couple of years. And there was like just that the connection with nature that is like pretty strong in it really, really rang true for me. Cause I know like with some other places I'd gone to like the Center for Spiritual Living, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm on board with them. But then like, I remember one moment, like, looking up at whoever was talking, and, like, behind her was, like, this beautiful tree in the window, and I was like, I want that in this conversation. And so, yeah, just more of, like, bringing nature back into it, just became, like, really more, became apparent how important that was to me. Yeah, and then just, like, the idea of, like, symbolisms and, or symbols and so much to learn and gain from and trust in with like your natural environment, which really like comes through in this piece in a way, or at least in the process for me. I went on a tangent there.
It was fantastic. Where did I
end up? Where am I?
Fantastic. What's on your bucket list as a, well, I guess it's not like an actor who has roles that they want to play, but
yeah.
What ideas, Where do you want to go next with your art?
I'd love to tour this piece.
Oh, wow.
Is something on my mind, on my plate. Yeah, there's that. So, like, a greater exposure. And then, yeah, just keep making work like this. I feel like with this structure of, like, having the voiceover narrative and playing with that as a performer on stage who doesn't have any lines spoken live, I'm really into that format and just curious, like, where that will go. I feel like circusy things are in my future. I'm not sure how, but, like, it just kind of keeps, it's, like, on the horizon of, like, I think that's a direction I'm going to go into at some point. Just, like, yeah, keep making work and learning, keep taking dance class and learning different things.
Right,
yeah.
On.
Yeah.
So Manifesto, Memorial Day weekend, Velocity Dance Center, go to Brown Paper Tickets. I'll post the cast list and a link to Brown Paper Tickets in the episode description. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you.
Can I say Elvis? I'm going to pretend that you walked out, and then I can say Elvis has left the building.
Go for it.
Elvis has left the building.